The Guardian.
First of all, look, huge congratulations. Could you tell us how you heard the news this morning?
Well, I was actually on my way to this meeting from California. So I flew overnight, arrived in Madrid, rented a car, drove down here, expected a call from a friend to tell me where I'm supposed to go to give my talk. I got a call, wasn't my friend, it was the Nobel Committee, and I was shocked. I've never been so surprised in my life, honestly.
So whereabouts are you exactly now?
I am in a little city called Baeza, which is a couple of hundred kilometers north of Granada or south of Madrid.
So you were driving along in your car when the phone went to tell you in Spain. I bet it was a beautiful drive as well.
Oh, it was gorgeous, yeah. I love Spain. I always like coming here.
This isn't a bad start to the day for you.
No, it's a wonderful day.
Have you spoken to your co-winners?
Well, some of them are actually here. This whole thing is extremely new, so I haven't really had time. Moreover, very, very early still in California. You know, scientists don't work early. They work late. I've talked to my wife, who's been, well, first of all, she was woken up. And then she was very happy.
So the Nobel people from Stockholm presumably rung you at home thinking you'd be there and just got your wife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I suppose she was a little grumpy at first, but then I don't think one gets a call like this very often, if ever. I treasure this extremely.
Can you give us some thoughts on the work you did that was cited for the Nobel?
So the work I did for the Nobel was on the part in the brain, so to speak. The Nobel Prize was given for what's called vesicular trafficking, which is how membranes within a cell move and how they fuse. And vesicular trafficking is important for all life, but it's particularly important for how neurons in the brain, how nerve cells in the brain communicate with each other. What I'm interested in, what I study, is how the billions and trillions of nerve cells that are present in a human brain talk to each other continuously at synapses by sending signals at specialized contacts between the cells, which are called synapses. And I study synapses. And synaptic transmission, which is the information transfer from one nerve cell to the next, is a fundamental process that underlies all brain function, from consciousness to just walking or talking to anything you can think of. And my laboratory for many years now has been trying to understand how is it possible that nerve cells in the brain can talk to each other so precisely and accurately. And so that's my part. My co-recipients, who are fantastic scientists, and I'm extremely happy that I'm sharing this prize with them, come from a different angle, but basically study a comparable problem. They come more from a cell biological point of view, and I'm more of a neuroscientist, that is a scientist who studies the brain.
Can I ask you about your own work, though? When you, the signaling between nerves happens very quickly, but it's quite an involved process of chemicals being released after the vesicle fuses to a membrane. I'm amazed it can happen so quickly to enable us to do the things we do.
Yeah, you put your finger right at the point of interest. So how is it possible for all this to happen within a millisecond or so? And that is exactly the question that most fascinated me when I started this work 30 years ago. I was exactly interested in that particular question. I was interested in understanding how is it even possible? Because it's hard to imagine that something so complicated could be so fast, right? And indeed, for many people in the field 50 years ago, there was a certain disbelief that this actually happens, because many people argued, well, it's impossible, this can't happen. And the way this happens is that although it sounds complicated, in the end, it's very, very simple. It's simple because everything is set up like a well-oiled machine to work precisely in order to achieve that. So the actual signal is a chemical that is secreted by one cell and recognized by the other cell. That's the process. But the process of secretion is extremely fast and highly regulated. And that was one of the key questions that I addressed in my work and that I think we largely solved. Namely, how is it possible for a cell to secrete a chemical so rapidly with such precision? And in the end, it turns out that the underlying machinery is not that complicated. It's just a few proteins that work together to do it. And how they work and where they exactly are, that has been the target and goal of my work for much over the last 3 decades. Does that answer the question?
Perfectly. Had you been expecting the prize?
Not at all. And first of all, this is a field that I feel should be recognized. But the fact is that there's many people who contributed. And I feel lucky that I was awarded the prize. However, I think that others may have deserved it just as much as I did. And I certainly didn't do any work in isolation. I did it together with many other people who contributed tremendously. So we always, I think, not only as scientists, as humans, I suppose, tend to overestimate ourselves. So I was hoping or dreaming that maybe I could get this award or that award, a little money here, a little money there. But I really did not expect to be awarded the prize, especially not right now. And so for me, that was an unbelievable, thrilling, and obviously beautiful surprise.
How's it going to change things for you?
I hope not much. I love what I do. I think that as a scientist, we have the luxury of really being able to pursue truth, which not many people are allowed to do. And I hope that I can do things maybe even more so in future that will actually also be of practical value. But primarily, I just want to pursue a better understanding of how the brain works and how it doesn't work in disease.
How are you going to celebrate today?
Well, so to be honest, I'm a little jet lagged because I didn't sleep last night. And so I'm hoping to have a wonderful dinner with my friends here and to go to bed early because it's been a long, I mean, usually when I travel overseas, I don't sleep and I go to bed early because I get very, very tired. And so I'll try to keep up a little longer. But I'm afraid if I had been in California, it would have been different. I would probably have had a wild party with all my lab. But I'm afraid my lab is going to have that party without me. Oh, they'll have to wait until I come back.
Congratulations again, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, Thomas. It's fascinating and really lovely to hear you talk it through.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.